Hello, everyone. This is John and Amy here with Paddles Up.
Hey.
And we were just listening to another message from someone else, and it's interesting what comes up when you're looking at our own habits, when we're looking at what generational things have been passed down. So we wanted to talk about the generation of...
Yeah, we just coined this. The generation of loyalty to a fault, or the loyalty of to a fault generation. And that, you know, we have all experienced is, you know, either our parents or grandparents and beyond down that line. But specifically, you know, recently, what would you say the era really from? Well, it's probably just the survival mentality being passed down until where we are right now, you know.
Yeah, and when you're looking at loyalty, there's a lot of talk about loyalty in companies, in the religious world, church world, and it's this loyalty to a fault where it's according to expectation and attachment rather than pure love. Because, you know, when you look at agape, it's unconditional, and you can't put loyalty conditions around it and expect people to reach their highest in life. And so, for example, if you're in a relationship and you're in it just because of one scripture verse, or you're in it because a pastor said, or you're in it because of a loyalty to a fault mindset coming down from generations,
or your grandfather,
or everything in between, then you're like, oh, I have to stay with this no matter what, even if there's abuse involved. And then because you're going to break expectations that were set at such a high bar that they're impossible to keep in certain ways. And then you're like, oh, I feel like a caged animal. Now, is that God's best?
Right.
Certainly not.
No, it's almost like the motto for marriage was passed on to all the other spheres of influence. You know, the until death do us part. And so it's, you know, until death do us part with this company, until death do us part with this religious church, you know, group, until death do us part with our abusive marriage, until death do us part with our abusive business we're in, or corporation or company, until death do us part literally with the military. So it's this loyalty to a fault, and don't question the authority, till death do us part with the pharmaceutical medical world. And now we're seeing that whole thing just collapsing with just all the things coming out of the real cause why people are dying. But anyway, it's this whole thing of don't question authority, don't question your beliefs, just do as you're told. Do as you're told, right?
And tradition and the rest, the hand-me-down stuff.
Yeah, and so you've got that motto that was taught to our parents growing up that they hold so firm to, and then they look at us, this younger generation that's into customizing things, and the ones following us, you know, that the younger they are, the more everything is authentic now and customized and unique and their own. And so the older generation is thinking something is so wrong with that because we're not holding to tradition. You're not being the loyalty to a fault. And a lot of families have split over this, you know, and the younger children have had to leave home and break relationships because the parents or the grandparents have been so staunch on my way or the highway with this loyalty to a fault principle.
Yeah, and I just remember, you know, what's coming up right now is I just remember the time when we walked away from religion, not Jesus.
Exactly. You know?
Walked away from the institution called religion.
Yes.
And I remember being so fearful because of the doctrinal beliefs, because of the belief system that was set, the parameters that were set, the protocols and all that in the church world we belong to. And it had us so scared that, you know, if we do this, we are in trouble with God. He's just waiting for a hammer to fall down and smack us in the back of the head, and you're toast.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to
hit the brick wall.
Be deceived. You're going to listen to lying spirits and all the rest of this garbage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find out and you step out and find out.
As you're brave enough to start questioning things.
Yeah. Then or you read a book that set you free, which happened to us. Two different books really opened our eyes at the time, and we're like, wait a minute, I have been in a bubble of deception believing that I need to stay in this abusive thing.
Yeah.
And then that's what the doctrinal beliefs are around marriage, the institution of marriage. Listen to that. The institution of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we find ourselves being trapped. Some people are trapped in the whole system their entire lives.
All out of fear.
Out of fear.
Yeah. You know, one of the books that John was mentioning that really helped us was this small little book by Frank Viola called Who Is Your Covering?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the biggest things that religion in general will hold over you, you know. Who is your covering? And that's what they ask you if you go to different churches. I mean, it's just all man-made protocol, right? Because God's supposed to be our covering, right? We have the Spirit of God within us to lead us and guide us.
And that covering, let's talk about that for a minute. That covering gives you all the freedom you could ever want.
Yeah, God's covering.
He's not controlling us. He is not covering us to the degree to where it's conditional.
Yeah, checklist.
We're power to choose. Like Danny Silk said one time, you know, you're powerful to manage your own freedom.
Yeah.
And so how do you manage that? Because if we're made in the image of love, we're made in the image of unconditional love. Think about that. If we're made out of the stuff, then we have the freedom to choose things that bring us more freedom or more entrapment or more enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of choice. So,
yeah.
But the belief systems around those choices are so ingrained. Sometimes this loyalty to a fault, like you were mentioning with the military. Mm-hmm. I mean, how loyal are we to a country to where we're like, I'm going to go fight into the death. And that might not even have anything to do with God's will for your life.
Right.
It's I am dedicated to nation and country. And then we throw God in there, right?
Yeah.
God, Bible, and country, you know? And then this nationalistic thing that mm-hmm. says, my pride's going to take me all the way through. Now, you wouldn't say that out loud normally. Mm-hmm. Some people would. But, like, my pride's going to take me all the way to the end. Well, guess what? That could very well be the case. Because if we're being called to war over an idea, and I could just see some...
Yeah, or over a money-greed issue.
I can just see some patriot sitting there right now going, oh, wait a minute, guys. What? You're way out of line here.
Because, you're getting under my feathers.
Because you're not standing up for this country. Did we say that? No. But the idea is, remember, we're talking about belief systems here. And if our belief is so strong as a nation to say, we're the world's police, and we're going to go make sure everybody bows their knee to our idea of freedom, and when we're the least free morally country probably there is, because we're entrapped. Listen to what I'm saying. We're entrapped in this idea of morality. And what is morality to most people? Well, they have their own definition of it, and it's usually confined around the borders of an institution.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a belief system around religion, instead of really from the heart going, what if the United States was known as agape? Like the quote belief system of unconditional love, where everybody was released in workplace, in marriage, in relationships, and military, and all the rest. What if we were truly living agape?
Right.
And now, would that look like a moral police? Look what the moral police did to that poor girl in Iran.
Or law-driven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, law-driven.
There's nothing wrong with... Yeah, but there are the moral police in Iran. Oh. They're called the moral police.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And they go around and they make sure you're wearing your hijab. They make sure you're not wearing makeup.
See.
They make sure that's...
So it's a misrepresentation of the word.
Yeah, and again, just so you don't misunderstand what I just said, there's nothing wrong with morals
when
they're not encased in law.
Yes. There's the thing, right? What's the root of it? Is it driven from love or fear or control? And that's the whole thing. So you could have the purest heart, right, going into the military, but you have a corrupt leader. And so you're being loyal to a fault, giving your life for the country, and then you get back out of the war, you lost a bunch of your buddies, you lost a limb, and come to find out the whole war was over greed and ego, and then now you're fighting to even get taken care of as they promised, you know, and financial aid as they promised, and respect and all these things that they promised. And it's a whole different story, right? When you're coming back home and now you've got to deal with the trauma of it. And it's an old way. Again, it's the old generational loyalty to a fault, when there's a higher way coming of heart-centeredness, heart-centered solutions. Yeah. Where a country can actually come, let's reason together versus let's show how big our egos are and send all our people in to fight for us. We don't care about their lives, you know, as long as we win, that whole thing, which is just, it's coming to the end of itself.
Yeah, but, and really, when we're breaking down the word loyalty, for so many people this has so many different definitions. Like, mm-hmm. I'm loyal to this person. Company. I'm loyal to this company. You know, when it comes to corporations and companies, mm-hmm. it's not the same as it was 30 years right. ago. Most companies, there is no such thing as loyalty for 30 or 40 years anymore.
But to your parents, they're thinking, what's wrong with you if you leave exactly. your job? You need to stay 30, 40 years in like we did.
Yeah, and they don't understand, because of the consciousness level that we're in right now, that's just not the case anymore. And so then you look flaky, you look flighty, jumping from place to place. And really, that may not be true at all. That's the conditions we're in right now. However, because we're expanding beings, and our consciousness level is coming higher and higher all the time, it could very well mean that, hey, okay, I had a service contract with this company for a little while. We served each other well. Now it's time to end that contract and go to the next. Mm-hmm. Or in that service. I don't like the word contract, but you know what I mean? In world's terms, it's contract. Yeah. So,
service.
Yeah, it's a service.
Two-way relationship. Yeah. It's a two-way relationship versus this servitude, loyalty to a fault, no matter how you're treating me and abusing me.
Yeah, and so what if we just changed the thought process on this and said, okay, this job served me well for, you know, however many months or years, and I gave it service, and they gave me back service by rendering pay or whatever, benefits. So I'm ending this agreement, I'm ending this relationship, and I'm moving on. What if we did that with no trauma attached?
Because you're growing and expanding and waking up. I mean, are we going to fault our children that they don't want to wear diapers anymore because they're now 4, 5, 6 years old, you know, because they've outgrown a certain age or a certain area or a playpen, you know?
Exactly. We've had, over the years, I remember just, you know, one particular, well, a few of them actually, but in the church world, you know, one person was, what's your love language? They go, oh, loyalty. And then right then and there, you have to, if you're awake enough, you have to sit back and go, okay, I wonder why it is loyalty. Mm-hmm. Because that could be a major abandonment issue.
Right. It's like, is that your trauma speaking?
Could very well be trauma, because when I think of a healed person and a whole person, I don't think of loyalty as a love language. I would think of, okay, wait a minute.
Because love trusts.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So it would be more like, hey, the love language that is wrapped up in me and me in it is agape. It's the now. It's the now in agape. It's a now in unconditional love. That way it's a service to everyone and all, but it's also coming right back as this freedom to not attach. Mm-hmm. There is no attachment in unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Do you ever notice that? You ever notice that God isn't making you do something or forcing you to? I know certain belief systems say that. You know, I've heard so many times. I've even said it years ago where, oh no, God's making me do this. I'm forced to do this.
I have to do this.
I should. I must. Mm-hmm. And
obligation.
It's just not true in unconditional love. Those statements come from conditioning.
Yeah.
And that the same with relationships.
Loyalty to a fault.
Yep. Same with relationships, jobs.
Right. And so here's the thing too, with this whole, you know, not challenging authority, challenge or not challenging your beliefs, anything like that, is that we can be loyal to a fault, to an angry God that we grew up in,
yeah,
and not realizing, oh my gosh, all this time I believed in a false version of who God really is. And it was a religious, man-made fear tactic, creating this angry God. And even of the Old Testament, you guys, we got to remember, those were human beings writing their version of God back then. Some was inspired, some wasn't inspired, because there was agendas. And you have to know God personally for yourself, of his amazing unconditional love, and discern here. You know, we can't elevate even the book of the Bible so high that, oh, I can't question anything that's in there. No, we need to question, look back, see what the translators, shouldn't we question something that's been translated over how many times? I mean, yeah. 40,000-something times. It's just, you know, and this is why God said these things are discerned by the Spirit. Exactly. You have to discern them by the Spirit, and not, again, be loyal to a fault, to some translation version. Because look at all the different words they're using to describe something. Like, even I think it's Romans 12 or Romans 8, somewhere in there, where it, you know, says by faith versus in faith. And it was really trying to say that the translators put in faith, like as it was our faith that did it. Then the true Hebraic understanding is it was God's faith, his faith, that did it for us.
Yeah.
You know, and so just these little adjustments. But if you're not questioning authority, and you're not questioning what you believe, and actually going to find the truth, then you're going to end up serving an angry God your whole life and wake up at your death grave and,
yeah,
who are you?
I know. And yeah, really, you have to ask yourself, and really this message is for those that want to break free of a loyalty to a fault that's literally killing mm-hmm. them. You know, right, or feeling like it is.
Yeah.
And you've got to really ask yourself, okay, why am I loyal to this pastor? Why am I loyal to this company? Why am I loyal to the... And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's one thing having a mutual love for one another.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about a loyalty to a fault.
Right.
But what's that says, I am going to stick with this no matter what, because I have to stay with it till the end. And really, that's a voice coming from your childhood somewhere. Right. Like mom and dad said to never quit.
Yeah.
You know,
so or that's driving you.
Yeah. Or, you know, something in my DNA. It's right. Like, we're not quitters. We're a family that never quits.
Right. So you got, again, this generational thing passing on to you, and we have to stop and look a clear lens, dial it in here. Wait a minute, is that wholesome training passed down to me, or is that egoic training passed down to me?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you do it, you don't quit. That's their ego, because that's all about image. Now you, with a more awakened state, is, wait a minute, is this even the right fit for me, or was this their thing? And so you have to discern that and not just be loyal to their thing. You know?
Yeah. And so many, this is such a big deal with saturated in much of society, that they're loyal somewhere to this fault that's really causing a stunted growth.
Yeah.
It's really causing this situation to where go, okay, what if God really was leading you in a certain direction?
Right.
But yet your belief system that you've been conditioned by
mm-hmm.
makes you believe it's God telling you to stay.
Right.
I can't tell you how many people we've met over the years that are, quote, intercessors or prayer warriors that sit there and go, oh no, I you know, everybody's jumping ship basically, right? Because of this toxic environment mm-hmm. in a church setting, yeah, or
narcissistic leader.
Yeah. And everybody's jumping ship just to save their own lives, you know? But this one intercessor, this one
loyal to a
fault, I'm gonna pray this thing through. And then you look at them and they're like 50 years old and they look 80.
Right.
You know,
because they wanted to be the star that saved the ship.
They're carrying the whole load of loyalty. You know, you're wrong about this pastor, or you're wrong about this leader. And it's just like, wait a minute, who's going to get to the real raw truth here? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the situation in work. There's so many CEOs and bosses and upper management that I've run into that are truly narcissistic. And they think that that's power. They think that that's...
The owners think.
Well, within themselves, within themselves too, they think it's power. Right. They think it's leadership. And it's almost like when you have this person yelling through the hallways, the corridors of the workplace, get to work, do this, do that. We have deadlines to meet. I need all this stuff cleared off the table. You know, all this kind of stuff.
See me.
See me. And then these scared little impasse running around everywhere, these minions.
Yeah, the employees.
We got to do what the boss says. We're going to get yelled at. Oh, it's my job. I've got to survive. I have three kids. I have to do this.
It's rehearsal. You don't understand. Childhood.
What is that? Loyalty to a fault.
Yeah.
Because you have options in America. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but you have lots of options right now. Mm-hmm. And so he's called one foot in front of the other.
Right.
But it takes bravery. It takes courage for some people. And just know that you have the permission to do that.
That's right. You are allowed to. And you're allowed to break down this egoic mindset within yourself that it says, I have to uphold this image because mommy and daddy are watching, grandparent, you know, my great grandma's watching out of heaven. I got to hold up to what they taught me, that loyalty to a fault will pay off. Or your own egoic, which you can't even see because it's covered up by something seemingly good, of your pride, of, no, I'm going to stick this out. No, I'm going to be loyal. This is my motto of loyalty. Loyalty to a fault.
Yeah, and now, again, you guys, lest someone think we're being too critical, again, it's that when there is a mutual love and respect and true honoring going both ways
in the relationship,
not just one way.
That's right.
If it's true honoring going both ways, you love each other, you're dedicated through love and not attachment, then it can be a beautiful thing. Like Amy and I are in love, and where we mutually honor and respect one another, and it just flows. It's good, and it's been long term, you know. Yeah. Over 20 years.
Well, I do, you know.
Yeah, at this point. And it's like, okay, well, it works for us because we're not trying to control or dominate one another and be loyal to a fault, you know. As we each have our own will, we each have our own freedom, but we choose. We keep choosing each other because we just know that it's good for us, you know, and we help each other grow and all these awesome things. However, look at marriages where they go, there's truly abuse going on, like emotional abuse, for example. And then the wife or the husband, or they look at their spouse and they go, yeah, but there's some good in them. Well, yeah, but let's look at the yeah, but.
Yeah, the moment you have a yeah, but attached to something, there's your wake-up call.
Yeah, and so you look at this and go, okay, do you really want to spend the rest of your life with that constriction, with that confinement? It's, believe me, trust us, it's not honoring to God.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not honoring who he made you to be.
Right. Exactly.
In freedom.
And then that you're choosing a man-made rule or law of the marriage vows or whatever over what God may even be telling you. You know, again, it's the loyalty to a fault. But who established that system? Did God even, you know, tell you to be in that marriage or whatever? Or I know we're walking on sticky ground here, but it's like, you got to really ask yourself, you know, these things. Where's the root? Why are you letting this dictate to you? What are you allowing dictate to you that's keeping you in bondage? Because there's a thing, if you're living in bondage, abuse, and fear, how is that God?
It's not.
You know, really, you're choosing it. You're choosing to tolerate it, to uphold to some childhood message ingrained in you. Again, yeah. Loyalty to a fault.
Now we understand that miracles can happen and it can turn around, but are both parties dedicated to that?
Yeah, that has to be the case. Again, a mutual relationship of respect.
Yeah, if you have one person saying, for example, you know, I'm going to drink whether you like it or not, whether it does damage to the kids, whether, you know, this whole scenario, I'm going to drink every single day because I've been conditioned to believe that that's fun. And I don't see anything wrong with
it's
it.
It's my release.
I don't see anything wrong with it. Too bad. I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, that's not agape. That's not unconditional love. That's called egoic
attachment. Edging God out.
Edging God out. So it's egoic attachment that says it's my way or the highway. Well, how is that fair to the other person that's wanting to live in unconditional love
and safety
into that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So it's one-sided dictatorship is what it is. And then you have a choice to live with that. You have a choice to there and say, okay, I'm going to believe God for a miracle one day. Until then, I'm going to tolerate it. Okay, here's my question to you. How much of life are you missing out on?
Exactly. And how you're much, choosing to stay.
And how much of an abusive mindset are you etching into your children's minds that it's okay?
Exactly. Because they're learning it's okay to stay under this abuse. Look at how mom suffered it out, and it's just, and or vice versa. If you have an abusive wife and you're suffering as an empath husband under it. And so it's not okay because you're setting the example that this is okay to be in this. And again, God's not holding you there. You're choosing it. This is why we're challenging you to question your beliefs. Where are they coming from? Did God tell you this stuff? Or are they rooted from some egoic leader or some, you know, seemingly meaning well teacher, but it's not coming from God, you know?
Yeah, and you can pick and choose scriptures all day long to say and to fit and to mold your current belief system that you've been conditioned by. And anybody can do it. You know, you could look at things in there and then just say, okay, well, you know, I don't like that people group, so I'm going to stone them to death. Well, that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to just pick and choose that one? Well, if you do that, you're going to prison for life.
I'm
going to
have all my concubines because, you know, Solomon did.
Exactly.
So, and I'm in the New Testament now. We're all kings and queens, you know, we're all...
eye for an eye. You know, they broke my arm, so I'm going to go break all of theirs, you know, their bones or whatever.
I know.
It could just, this mentality...
That's why it's dangerous. You can twist and turn the Bible any way you want.
You can, you or know, any, the Quran, anything, any kind of
to get
book,
what you want.
Instead of a real relationship with what the one that you've been birthed by.
Mm-hmm.
And we're made out of love. That's what we're made by and the substance of. And so if we are, everything else around us and on top of us is a survival mechanism built by ego. And so this is why this whole journey is about living, beginning to awaken to inside out reality instead of outside in. Inside out, because love turned from the inside to the outward and lived that way is agape. It's unconditional love.
Yes, for sure.
So loyalty to a fault. If you feel like you are that way in any given place, the best way to break this is to silence yourself. Sit still for a while and listen. Mm-hmm. Just listen. And then ask questions when you feel they arise. Like, why am I loyal to this person or this system or this idea? Why am I?
Right.
And then sit
and
listen.
And is it mutual? Is it mutual?
Yeah. Sit and listen for the answer. I guarantee the answer is going to come to you in its own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, if it's loyalty to a fault, to he's going to give you the grace. God is going to give you the grace to detach from that attachment.
That's right. So this is another paradigm that is being deconstructed right now in the earth.
Yes.
Is this whole loyalty to a fault in whatever sphere or relationship you're being challenged with right now, to be able to just release it and let it go. Bless and release. Just bless and release. It's time for you to rise to what's best for you. What your higher self is calling you to. What is your spirit man calling you up into? It's time to come into agreement with that and stop putting it off with all your excuses and your well buts and your reasoning out and logic. Yeah, but, you know, this is support for me, so I'll endure their issues so I at least have stability. So, okay, you're going to put stability in a man or a woman versus in what your spirit is telling you. Because if your spirit's telling you something different, I'd advise you to follow that, because that means there's supply there. And, you know, things will change around you in a good way as you choose to align and change with what's in your heart and your spirit, what's calling you up higher. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you in that. You are allowed to take the step out of what you've been enslaved in, what you've been holding yourself in. You have been holding yourself in it. We can't make excuses anymore saying, well, they're doing this to me. Oh, well, that's doing this to me. Or, well, I have to stay. Really? You chose it to begin with, didn't you? Then you can choose to leave it.
Exactly. Exactly. And so just if you feel yourself panicking, trying to, you know, deciding to walk away from something or someone, then sit with the panic for a little bit and send love to it. Just allow love to absorb
be
it.
Be okay with it.
And tell yourself it's okay to feel panicked.
Yeah.
As this is dissolving in my life, as I'm moving forward, it's okay to feel this way. And I'm sending love to you, loyalty to a fault.
Yeah.
Because what that is just an abandonment issue within your childhood of some kind that says, I need this person. I need this system.
Or trying to honor somebody that's not even alive anymore.
It's some kind of issue surrounding that. So the best way to heal it is to love it. Yeah. Send love to it.
And release it. Send love and release it. Send it on its way.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to that.
Yeah. We hope it helps encourage you to just have that boldness to move into what's best for you in your life, because that is going to cause a rippling effect to your children or to all those that are watching you that will give them the courage to do so as well.
Exactly. So,
but most important, for you to have a life that is living its fullness and that you're detaching from all the stress and the things keeping you bound. So you are more powerful than you realize. It's time to step into that full divinity in you. All right.
And so keep the paddles up.
Paddles up. Talk soon. Bye.